This is part two on the book of Genesis. Okay, we're still on the first page. Today I want to introduce you to a very difficult topic, one that I don't fully understand, but it's an example of the kind of thought and reasoning that has to go into understanding the Torah, especially on the level of Pshat. The first five verses of the Torah describe the events on the first day. Now, in Biblical Hebrew, there are two ways to write a verb in the past. One is there's a past tense. The other is to write the verb in a future tense and use a vav to mean and, but the vav also changes from future to past tense. And the opposite can happen also, a verb in past tense, you put a vav on it, can change, we change it to the future tense. But the vav does more than that. The vav also expresses consecutive action, so that when you read such a vav, especially when you have a string of verbs, where each verb is in the present tense but has a vav preceding it, you should read the vavs as and then. A happened, and then B happened, and then C happened, and then D happened. It's consecutive action, in order. Okay, let's try it with the first five verses and see if, those of you know a little bit, see if you don't get a very surprising conclusion. In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth, we're following Rashi's translation, when the earth was astonishingly empty, with darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the divine presence hovered over the surface of the waters, and then God said, let there be light. And then there was light. And then God saw that the light was good. And then God separated between the light and the darkness. And then God called to the light day. And to the darkness he called night. And then there was evening. And then there was morning, one day. Well, given that description of the events, when does they begin?
After all the creating's done.
At what time in the 24-hour sequence does the day begin and end?
Start at the same time.
Let's try again. Now you know the question I want you to focus on. Let's read through it again. Listen to the verbs as and then. And tell me, okay, if you've got it, let everybody else get it, we're going through it again. At what point in the daily cycle does the day end and begin? In the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was astonishingly empty, with darkness on the surface of the deep, and divine presence hovered upon the surface of the waters, and then God said, let there be light. And then there was light. And then God saw the light was good. And then God separated between the light and the darkness. And then God called to the light day, to the darkness he called night. And then there was evening, and then there was morning, one day. When does the day begin and end? At what point?
With darkness and ends with light.
After the morning.
The beginning of light, and the end and darkness.
In other words, in the morning. The day begins and ends in the morning. Well, that is against the Jewish position, right? The Jewish teaching is that the day begins and ends at night. And yet from a plain, literal reading of the text, taking into account that the phrase, the verb with a vav, a verb in the future tense with a vav that changes it to past, is meant, and then, the end of the cycle is morning. Which means that according to that way of reading the text, it's from morning to morning, not from night to night, the way we always understand the Jewish day to work. Furthermore, as the Rashbam points out, the words evening and morning are not synonymous with night and day. Mm-hmm. Evening is really the end of the daylight period. Morning is the end of the darkness period. And in Hebrew, that's especially stressed. The word for evening in Hebrew is erev. Erev is a word which means mixture. And it refers to a mixing of light and darkness. When things become indistinct, when the light is fading and the darkness is taking over, that's erev. Boker refers to a time of clarity, when you can distinguish things clearly after a period where you couldn't see. And that's why the translation into English of evening and morning is correct. Not night and day, but evening and morning. So, if the text says there was evening and there was morning, morning means the end of night. When finally you can see again and see clearly. So again, we have the position that the day ends in the morning, and therefore, of course, if the previous day ends in the morning, the new day begins in the morning, which is against the normal Jewish position. You could avoid one of these pieces of evidence. One commentator, the Chizkuni, says that the last statement, there was evening, there was morning, one day, is not in sequence with the previous. It's a summary of the previous. It's a summary of the whole previous sequence. It's not, and then, after everything I told you before, there was evening. But no, there's a whole sequence of events, and then, summing it up, it says, there was evening, there was morning, one day. That could put evening before the morning. That's fine. But the Rashbam's point still stands. Evening is the end of the daylight period. Morning is the end of the darkness period, which means when you get to the end, what you get to is morning, not the end of the whole next daylight period to an evening. So you're still left without a literal reading that the day is from evening to evening, from beginning of night to the beginning of night. Now, as a first shot, I'm not going to be content with this, but as a first shot, we might say the following. The simple, superficial, plain, literal meaning says the day goes from morning to morning. Maybe that's true for some applications, for some uses. What about the non-Jewish world? How is its day structured? According to our sources, the non-Jewish world does go from morning to morning. Not only the non-Jewish world, but the Jewish people before the giving of the Torah at Sinai also counted its days from morning to morning. And that's important because the Torah, in its depicting of the history of the Exodus, talks about days in which certain things happen, the number of days between one event and another, and only if you are aware that at that time the day goes from morning to morning can the number of days work out correctly. One second. So there really is an application for a day that's morning to morning. And even in our Jewish law, even in our Jewish law, there are certain laws where the day does go from morning to morning. For example, certain sacrifices, where you offer the sacrifice and you can eat it on the day that you sacrifice it and the following night. And when you come to the next morning, it's disqualified. So there you have a day which goes light to darkness and finishes. So there are valid applications of a day which goes from morning to morning. It isn't as if that's just a fantasy. So the simple, naive, linguistic meaning of the passage might be from morning to morning. The oral tradition would then tell us, in spite of the simple, naive, linguistic meaning of the passage, for our halakhic applications, the halakhic applications from evening to evening. And it doesn't accord with the simple, linguistic meaning of the passage. That's one way to approach it. And indeed, the Me'am Lo'ez tells a story about the Ibn Ezra, that he was in England, and while there, someone showed him a manuscript, which it seems could have been a manuscript of what I quoted the name of the Rashbam, that the day here goes from morning to morning. And the Ibn Ezra writes that he was shown this manuscript on Shabbos, and he couldn't wait for Shabbos to be over to burn it. And when Shabbos was over, he burned it, because he said, people will see this manuscript and they'll start keeping Shabbos legally from morning to morning, which is incorrect. Still, the words do seem to say from morning to morning, and the first approach would be to split and say, yes, they do say from morning to morning, they in fact say that, and that's because for the non-Jewish world, it's from morning to morning. And for the Jewish world, up until the giving of the Torah, it was morning to morning. And for certain halakhic applications, even after the giving of the Torah, it's morning to morning. But for the majority of halakhic applications, it is from evening to evening. Yeah.
Did the Avos then keep Shabbos from morning to morning?
Oh, the Avos keeping Shabbos is a separate and very difficult question. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And legally, the Avos were non-Jews. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of Torah about what they did about that. It's an interesting question. Yeah.
Why do we need to get entangled about this worry? Because the text already tells us what the day is. It says, Vayikra Elohim la'or yom. So the day is just that light part. And that indeed does follow the morning, the beginning of the light. And that keeps in chronology of the verse. In line with the verse tells us, God called yom, just the light part.
Well, what are we going to do with the second half of verse 5 then? It says, and it was evening and morning, yom echad, one day. But if you take the intermediary part as you do, then you're going to have a straight outright contradiction from one line to the next line, right?
The day followed the morning. The other part, that intermediary part, that's nice.
Well, I think you have here the ambiguity that we have in contemporary English as well. Sometimes day means light, and sometimes day means a 24-hour period. We speak that way in contemporary English as well.
So in the same verse, right? It's changing the meaning of...
Well, that's changing the meaning. It points out that the word is ambiguous. Right, and that ambiguity has lived till the present day, so I don't think that's so terrible. There's another subtlety that I'm not addressing, but at any rate, that's enough for that. Then, however, there's another element to take into account. In verse 2, it says,